Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why don't you turn with me to Gary's favorite portion of Scripture when he's going to take up an offering, that's 2 Corinthians chapter 8, which is the should be all of ours because it's the pattern for New Testament giving, as you've heard him say before. Before I do anything else, I want to sing a song. And I want you to sing it with me. Could you? Pastor Dave, would you stand up? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Pastor Dave. Happy birthday to you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Watch him, he'll start hamming it up. Let's just look for a few minutes. I'm just going to keep you for just a few. Verse 1, chapter 8. Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, and he is going to use a testimony of other churches, not to manipulate, but to incite faith in the hearts of those to whom he's going to receive an offering. It's going to bless another church. He's going to brag on one church or a bunch of churches to receive from the Corinthians so he can bless the church in Jerusalem. But he starts out here and he talks and he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit," just means I want to tell you about this. We want you to know, in other words, we want you to know of the grace. Everybody say grace. Now, the word grace, usually, when you first come into the kingdom, you think, well, what is grace? Grace is, we always, you've heard it maybe many times spoken of, it's the unmerited favor of God. And that's part of the definition of grace. But grace goes way beyond that. We learned this from the writings of the Apostle Paul, especially under pressure. He said the grace of God was his sufficiency. Now that word grace is not just his unmerited favor, it is his strength. In other words, it's God's strength traded off for your weakness. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. He's not saying the unmerited favor is what happened here. He's talking about a strength that come on these churches. We want you to know about the grace of God or the strength of God that was bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia. How that in a great trial of affliction, these churches were really going through it. The abundance of their joy, two things, in their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Well, that liberality just means they're giving what they gave in the midst of it. And Paul says, look, I want you guys to know, here's their testimony, and I want you to understand that the reason why that they were able to give was a result of the grace of God that came upon them. And that grace came at the most inopportune time. They were really going through it. They were going through it, and they were having a tough time themselves. They were really, really, really having a tough time themselves. I don't know exactly all of what was going on, but it says a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record. Well, Paul knew, because he was a recipient. Yes, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministry of the saint. He said here that with much entreaty. In other words, have you ever received something from somebody and you thought, they can't do this? It's not possible for them to do this. I have a lot of times taken it and said, no, here, take it back. I know your condition at the moment. You can't do this. It's not possible for you. And they would say, no, I want you to have it. And this is what Paul is describing when he said, look, I basically were saying to them, you can't do this. And they were saying, oh, yes, we can. And the reason why they were saying, oh, yes, we can, is because of what he said next. He said, and this they did, not as we had hoped or expected, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. In other words, they got the initiative of what they were supposed to give by the strength of grace, God's grace coming upon them saying, look, you can give this. You can give this in this offering, or you can give this to Paul for whatever ministry he's going to use it for, not because of your decision, but because I'm asking you to do this. And if I'm asking you to do this, then you've got to know I'll follow up behind you. I will follow up behind you and make sure that you have the availability and the means to do this, and you're not going to go lacking for nothing. This word grace for me became personified in 1997. You've heard some of our story before, but I think it'd probably be fine for me to share just a little bit about my his application of grace in my life according to this scripture. In 1997, that's Pastor Jim was talking about the other day. That's the first year that he went to the Tulsa conference. And that's when I showed up, and there were several of us. Lynn Perez showed up. That was the first conference that Gary taught, I believe. Prior to that, Candy and I were going through a time like never before in our life. We were caught in between two worlds. We were wanting to yield to the gospel, and that gospel for us was, I'm not talking about getting saved, the Holy Spirit was saying, go full time. Now God tricked us. He did. He tricked us. And I say that in all due respect. But a minister came from Immokalee to our pastor in Fort Myers where we were at. And there was about maybe 400 or 500 people in that church. And so he says, we need somebody. He said, we've started a cell group out where we're at in Immokalee. And I'd been to Immokalee a few times in my life, but I really did not. There was nothing about Immokalee that I liked. All I knew was there was a fishing lake over there, and that's where I went to go fishing at times. Well, this guy comes over to my pastor, and he says to him, he says, I need somebody to lead this Bible study. Can you got anybody on staff? Well, I wasn't on staff. I was running a big masonry business, construction business. We poured concrete. We did concrete blocks. We had a lot of people working for us. But I was the cell group pastor, and I had more people in my cell groups then than I have in my whole church now. And so he says to me, my pastor, would you got anybody that just, you know, well, yeah, this guy Bronk, you know, we trust him. He could go over and he could lead the Bible study until you get on your feet. He kind of just wanted somebody to kind of get it started, then he would take over later. And they were meeting in a little home, and so we went over. Now, this is prior to 97. We went over and we started, you know, this Bible study. And I would go over and teach on Wednesdays and on Sundays. And it was about a 45-minute drive both ways. So it's an hour and a half. We're driving over there and back. And then sometimes we'd do that on Sunday night, too. So three times a week we're doing that. And so I thought we're going to be there 2 months and that's going to be over. Well, after 2 months, turned into 4 months and 6 months and then a year, and then God got a hook in our jaw and it was like, this is what I want you to do. This is where I want you to stay. And amazing enough, years earlier, then the illumination started coming back. A memory that had been kind of just washed away. I remember 20 years earlier, maybe, when I had gotten out of Bible college, the presbyter, I was in a denomination then, and the presbyter, that's the chief mucky muck. Sorry. Oh, I'm sorry, brother. That is in many ways they're great if they're following God. But I'm talking about the denomination I was in. Well, anyway, he sent me over and he said, would you like to go and try out for a church? And I thought, I was just a kid out of Bible college, and I thought, wow, this would be really, really great. So I went over as like a 22-year-old, and I don't know how many people were there. I preached. I don't know what I preached. It probably didn't make much sense at the time. And they all loved us. They said, man, we would love for you to come to be our pastor. And I just knew, I was praying enough at the time, I just knew that's not what I was supposed to do. I remember leaving that evening and driving out of town. I didn't say anything to him. I just regretted that I was going to have to go back and tell this presbyter that I don't know why I can't take it. And I know it's a promotion, but I can't take it right now. And I was contemplating that. And I remember driving on a road going west, and the sun was going down, and the Holy Spirit, as I'm contemplating all this, the Holy Spirit came into the car. And it was so amazing, I could just feel it was almost an audible voice. It wasn't completely, but it was something. The Holy Spirit says, you're not supposed to take this now, but one day you'll come back to Immokalee, and you'll pastor in Immokalee. And it was so overwhelming, I had forgotten that. Now, 97, we're bringing up to 97. I was at a place where I knew that God had called us into this church, and I knew that He wanted us to go full-time in this memory of this prophecy or this word that God had given me. You will come back, and I remembered that. My God, how 20 years had kind of gone by, or maybe not quite 20, maybe 15. And the Lord reminded me of all that, and I thought, wow, God, You are putting this all together. This is really You. Well, the dilemma was this. The dilemma was we were so involved in the affairs of the world. We had a huge construction business, and we also had a home that we had just bought, and it was on acreage, and it had a barn and all kind of stuff, and it was right across the street from where Pastor Dave used to come and teach down in Fort Myers. And believe it or not, all the time that he was coming down and teaching in Fort Myers, I never met him. In fact, I didn't even know what a Dave Roberson looked like until 1997. So this lady that was getting some of his cassette tapes says to us, would you like to go with us to a conference? And I thought, well, I don't know. She goes, well, this is the guy we'll be listening to. So I started listening to this guy named Dave Roberson. And so I was in this dilemma. God, how do you get to a place where you just know, I need to go full time. I'm hearing Your voice saying, I could at least hear His voice say, go full time. But I didn't know how to get there. Well, business, all these men working for us, you can't shut down businesses. You can't just kind of walk out of a house. We went to the conference in 1997. And when Pastor Dave came out, I didn't even know who he was. I was standing up the front or wherever I was at, worshiping the Lord, and there was music and worship. And when he came by, and I had not even met him, I didn't even know, I don't think his picture was in the foyer at that time. And all I know is that when he walked by, I thought, I don't know who that guy is, but whoever he is, I want to be like him. I want to be like that guy. That's the guy I want to be like. And so when he got up on stage, then started speaking, I knew that was Pastor Dave. Well, something happened in that conference. And as a result of it, I got instruction. And I'm not going to tell you all of that instruction, but the Lord said, if you'll go back and begin to pray X amount of hours in the Holy Spirit each day, every day, and if you'll do this and this and this, I will deliver you over. Well, the story here, I went back and was obedient to that. All I can say is this. At the end of those few months, God said, if you'll do this, at the end of like 5 months, a grace fell from heaven. Or a grace enveloped me as a result of praying in tongues. A grace came upon me. And it was as if in just a week or two's time, God was able to give us the grace to say, look, we're walking out of our business. We're actually, and I say this all to the glory of God, we actually gave our house away and were able to walk out of it and give our business away to my Father. And all I can say is the same grace that came upon these people came upon my life. If you were to say to me, man, how did you do it? When you're in His grace, you know you're not the one that's doing it. You don't take any credit for it because all you're like, you're just like, you know, when you get on those escalators at the airport, you don't have to do anything, or you know, those moving sidewalks. When you get on those moving sidewalks, all you got to do is stand there. if you get on it, it will take you to the other end. I got on it, and it started taking me. I didn't know how praying in tongues was even working. I did not know that it was working for my future. And when all this stuff, it was like I was so, you know, for when I was attached to the business and attached to the house, there was a detachment. And it was like, man, don't brag on me because this is not me. And Paul said, these people had this grace come upon them. When he said they entreated me, and I said, you can't do this. And they said, no, the reason why we can't is because we've offered ourselves up to God, and God has given us grace to give you this. Listen, it all boils down to His strength. It all boils down to His strength in our weaknesses, in our giving, in our receiving. Whatever He's asking us to do, it's not us doing it. But we have to step into that place where we begin to trust Him and say, Father, it's Your strength that I'm depending on. And this morning, whether you're listening over the internet or you're here this morning, always, that's the way your giving should be. You're not looking as in yourself to say, how can I muster up enough energy? How can I muster up enough faith? If you get on just following Him, His grace is sufficient. And it is sufficient to give you the faith for it. It's sufficient to also come behind you and meet your need according to His riches and glory. Amen. Praise God. Now, would you just bow your hearts with me this morning? Would you just pray, Father, in Jesus' name, we thank You for Your grace. We ask You, Lord, this morning, that is Your strength made up for our weaknesses. We ask You, Lord, in the name of Jesus, to speak to every heart in here. Guide us according to that grace. And, Lord, that our giving this morning will be according to not our strength, but Your strength. And we give You all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.